Today we're going to continue on in our study in regards to God's prophetic calendar for the believer. And I'd like to encourage you to look with me in a couple places. I'm going to begin Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. It reads like this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow them. That they may rest from their labors, for their works follow them. Now, you've heard me talk about the prophetic calendar and what every believer, along with every unbeliever, has on their calendar is death. Agreed? Is it true that you cannot escape death in a natural sense? The body that we're currently living in, this tent that we're currently living in, is degrading. It is going to die, correct? In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says man is destined to die once and then unto judgment. So last week we looked at the truth about what the scripture has to say about the soul and the spirit separating itself from the body. Now there's only one biblical exemption from that. The only biblical exemption from you experiencing death is that you would be alive during the rapture. At that point, the Bible promises that those who are alive will not precede those that have went before us, but that those that were dead in Christ before us would go before us, and those that were alive shall meet them together in the air. The Bible commands the preachers and all those that read the 1 Thessalonian book of chapter 4, it says, encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another that there is a rapture on your calendar. So the order of events is this. You're going to experience the death in the grave. We've talked about the separation of the soul and the spirit for those for the righteous and the wicked. The righteous and the wicked both have separation of soul and spirit from the body. What is different is that those that have put their faith and trust in Christ go into what the Bible calls an intermediate state. But let me show it to you so that we're all on the same page. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Now, take special note of the very first line. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, let me share with you that what I'm about to read is not what you will experience immediately after death. It tells about a taking, a removing of the church, the body of Christ, from the earth. Now, if you die, and as you're going to see in this scripture at the latter part, you're going to experience what the Bible calls sleeping in Jesus. Now, it says here, let's walk through it slowly because I don't want to confuse you. What I'm saying is that upon death, you're going to have a separation of soul and spirit. For those that are in Christ are immediately going to enter what the Bible calls paradise. I can show you the verse for that. But let me open by reading verse 13, okay? It says, I do not want you to be ignorant. Okay, do you see that? He's saying that ignorance is bad news. So you may not be without knowledge, because without knowledge, the Bible promises my people perish for lack of knowledge. Okay, so understanding what's on your prophetic calendar for your future is a non-negotiable discipleship discipline. Amen. Because you cannot be dependent on God through belief, prayer, presence, and promise unless you understand what His promise is. This is a promise. It is coming to you. You are going to experience the resurrection of the dead. You're going to experience the resurrection of the righteous specifically because you have become righteous because of Christ. Christ has declared you in right standing with God because of the blood sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb, namely the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the sin offering. So it says in verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." Catch that. Those that have fallen asleep. "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." So he's saying, unless you're looking forward to your day with the Lord in paradise, you may be on earth and your hope may be incomplete, or you might not have any hope. Because we learned last week, to be on earth without Christ and to be separate from God, you are a person without hope. And that's what stems to the unrighteous, unholy, unrestrained pursuit of experiential joy and happiness on this earth, trying to fill the unending hole inside your soul that only God can fill. Being reconciled to God through Christ is the only remedy for hopelessness. All other source of temporary experiential circumstances and experiences do not have the power to rest your soul. They will give temporary joy. Sin is fun, but sin has a deadly consequence. Yes?
Yes.
Guess what? The cheese in the mousetrap is free. Okay? The lure in is free. It all seems good, but when the trap closes, guess what? The cheese was no longer free. So when you think about it in that way, sin has its lures, but sin has its hooks too. And so what's happening is most people, I'm very familiar with the heroin crisis, and these people are in so much internal turmoil, so much internal hopelessness, so much internal pain that they're willing to use poison to try to medicate or self-medicate pain on the inside. When Christ is the only healing, He is the only healing balm for the hurt of the soul, the emptiness, the separation of the soul. So here, it's important for us to recognize that Christ is our hope, and Christ is the hope for all that are perishing. He's the only hope. For it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Save them from what? Save them from hopelessness. Save them from hopelessness. It says here in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who," there it is that word again, "sleep in Jesus." Okay? That, when I say sleep in Jesus, my terminology for that particular state of conscious, and what you understand, I'm calling it the intermediate state. The intermediate. Now, when you think of intermediate, it's pointing to something, an event that happened before, and an event that's going to happen. In other words, it's in between. So what is it in between? It's in between death of the flesh. But what is the state of the intermediate state? Are you alive? Are you conscious? Well, I can assure you, yes, both the righteous and the wicked have a state of consciousness. I'm going to show you some scripture to support that. So, here, look with me just for a moment. In Luke chapter 16, verse 23, it says this, quote, "And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." What did I just read to you? I read to you the conscious state of someone who experienced death in the flesh, a separation from the separation of soul and spirit from the flesh, and an immediate entrance into Hades, otherwise known as hell, otherwise described as a waiting period for the great white throne judgment. Now, let's look at the experience of the righteous. In 2 Corinthians, I think I read it last week, 2 Corinthians 5, let me see here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Now, the reason I'm reading these two is because I want you to see the contrast between the immediate experience of the dead wicked and then the immediate experience of the righteous. They are notably different. One is filled with suffering that has an eternal promise. Suffering eternally. So does the experience for the righteous. Everlasting comfort and joy. Termination of pain, anguish, and all the things related to this life. In other words, there is a Sabbath. I want you to hear this because it's important to catch this. You're on a journey that is guaranteed to be tumultuous. In other words, there's guaranteed trouble along the road. And in this life, you're going to have much pain. And if you stand for Christ, you will have much pain and suffering. But the Bible talks about the Sabbath rest of God. It talks about entering the Sabbath rest. There is a Sabbath rest for those who have put their faith and trust in Christ. There's a rest that your soul experiences by being placed into the body of Christ. But there's also a rest. The Bible refers to it as a Sabbath rest. That once you leave the body and there's separation of soul and spirit, that as the moment that you enter asleep in Jesus, that, my beloved, is not cessation from activity, but completion of journey. Okay? The Sabbath rest that that's talking about in Hebrews chapter 6 is an arrival and a completion of a lifetime. A lifetime on earth, an arrival to the next leg of the big journey. The arrival in heaven, entering what the Bible calls paradise, otherwise known as the abode of God, you shall enter. You shall enter the abode of God. Now, Jesus talked about this place. It's called paradise. And that's where we sleep in Jesus. Okay? With me so far? Now, here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, note this in verse 14. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him, those who sleep in Jesus." That is a prophetic declaration of the resurrection of the righteous, part B. Okay? Now, I hit it last week just briefly, but for the sake of good understanding, turn with me to Matthew 27, 51 through 54, and I'll show you the resurrection of the righteous, part A. Now, the resurrection of the righteous, part A, you and I are not going to experience. Why? Because it preceded us. You need to understand, in God's prophetic calendar, there are some prophecy that are partially fulfilled. There are some prophetic calendar events that are like tapestry, fulfilled through generation after generation, season after season. What season are you in? Well, has the law of Moses been given? Yes. Has Abraham went on to be with the Lord? Yes. Did Jesus Christ come to earth? Yes. Was he crucified? Yes. Did he raise from the dead? Yes. So now, where are we?
You're in the age where the Bible calls, we call it the grace dispensation. And there are universal activities and universal calls. You are called to one hope. You have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Yes, yes. Now, there's the call to repentance. Jesus is having his ministers, his flaming swords, preach forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Repent and believe and receive forgiveness for your sins committed under the law. Yes? Is that not what's happening right now? Just across this city, there's 1,100 churches who have 1,100 pastors who are shouting at the top of their lungs, repent and believe and receive forgiveness of your sins. So what's happening now in God's prophetic calendar? The body of Christ is being built up, and you, like living stones, are being placed on the cornerstone, Christ Jesus, one generation after the other. No man knows the day or the hour when God's construction of the body of Christ will complete. But we do know, according to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, that we are in the age of the fulfillment of time. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says that God brought forth his Son. God brought forth his Son. Let's look at it together. I want you to see it. And then I'll go back to Matthew 27, 51 through 54. But I want you to see the age in which you live, because it's so important for you to take heed that you and I are the people that the disciples talked about, looked forward to. We are the people that's going possibly to see. Either, who knows, it might be tonight, it could be tomorrow, it could be 10,000 years from now. God has his own calendar. Some things are not made known to men. We do not know when the end of the grace dispensation is going to be. But all things would point to that, yes, because of the wars and rumors of wars and the earthquakes and the pestilence and all those things that Luke 21 talks about are here. As Nick notably said, check, 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 and check. These things are happening. So what would that point to? The assurance for you and I that we are in the last days. Those are birth pains for the coming day of the Lord. All these things that you see, worry not, because God is with you. God is in you. God, who set your path in order, is going to deliver you safely into the abode of God. Paradise. Okay, so now we're back to the resurrection of the righteous. I want to show you the event that took place historically, and then show you, as we read on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, what's coming down the road for those people who have put their faith and trust in Christ. Now, in Matthew 27, verse 51, it says, let's look at verse 50, please. I'm in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. What am I about to read? I'm about to read the 30,000-foot flyover immediately after Jesus took his last breath. Okay, are you with me? It says in verse 50, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. Verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, there's that word again. There's that word again. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were what? Raised. What's that pointing to? Look what it says. It says they were raised, and then what? And coming out of the graves, after whose resurrection? Christ's resurrection. His resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, is that a prophetic event? No, it took place. That was an historical event. That was an historical event at the time of the crucifixion of Christ. Agreed? Yes. So now, look over in St. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Okay, here it is. And now what I'm pointing to now is I want you to hear with your own ears the word of God, the promised resurrection. What I just read to you was resurrection of the righteous in part. In part. And I call it resurrection of the righteous part A, which is past tense, historical. Agreed? What you're about to hear here is the assurance of the resurrection of the righteous and the wicked. So in St. John chapter 5, verse 28, it says, "Do not marvel at this. Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in their graves," what? "Will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life." To the resurrection of life. And then it says, "And to those who have done evil," for those who have done evil, "to the resurrection of condemnation." All right, with me so far? All right, now, go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let me finish that, and then we'll turn the service over to Pastor Jim. Here it is in verse, we left off in 14. It says, "Those who sleep in Jesus." Now, if you've been following along, there's a common denominator here. The word sleep keeps popping up, right? Keeps popping up. What's that pointing to? It's pointing to the intermediate state. What is the intermediate state? It's at the point of entering the abode of God, arriving into the Sabbath rest, cessation from activity, but completion of journey. Then you have the guaranteed judgment post that. All right, with me so far? So the counter events: death in the grave, separation of soul and spirit, the arrival into the abode of God, otherwise known as paradise. With me so far? The beginning of the intermediate state. Asleep in Jesus. Until when? The promised resurrection, otherwise known as the rapture of the church. Are you? I hit it pretty hard there. With me so far? Death in the grave, separation of soul and spirit. What's the next step? Arrival into the abode of God. Right? Paradise. Then what? That is the end of a journey, but the beginning of the intermediate state. Does the intermediate state, does it have term limits? It has a beginning and an end. The beginning is when you arrive into the abode of God, otherwise known as paradise. What's the end of the intermediate state? The end is when you and I experience the rapture. The resurrection of the righteous, part B. This is what you're going... What I'm about to read to you is just that. Is the resurrection of the righteous, part B. Has it been fulfilled? No. Is it going to be fulfilled? Yes. Is there any escape of the rapture for the believer? Yes. Meaning, not so much for... In other words, those who have died in Christ, they're going to precede us. And the only way to escape death is to be a part of the rapture when you're alive. If Christ calls his church home and you're breathing, guess what? You're going to escape death in the grave. Isn't that nice? I know people that are genuinely praying for that. I don't want to taste the separation of my soul and spirit, Lord. I just want to go on up to heaven with you. Well, that could happen. It's very possible that could happen. But this is the rapture of the church, otherwise taught in theological circles as the resurrection of the righteous, part B. With me so far? All right, so here it is. In verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Here's what I was referring to. Look at verse 17. It says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And then it says in verse 18, the reason I'm shouting at the top of my lungs, therefore comfort one another with these words. So, what happens after the resurrection of the righteous, part B, otherwise known as the rapture? You get the experience of standing before God. And you're going to experience what the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ. If you are in Christ, you already have escaped the great white throne judgment. But you're guaranteed an appearance before Christ our Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. For the rewards. It says you will be rewarded for what you've done while in the body, whether it be good or bad. So now our journey, our study of the prophetic events for all of us, for those that are in Christ and those that are not, we've arrived in heaven. Next week we'll unpack the judgment seat of Christ. Do you know that the same privilege that God gave Adam and Eve, he said, you may freely eat. You may freely eat from any tree in this garden, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The one thing that we're going to experience, and this is on your prophetic calendar. I'm not sure you're looking forward to it. I hope you are, but let me encourage you with this word out of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says, to him that overcometh, to him I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. You are going to be fed and given an opportunity to eat from the tree of life. That, my beloved, is on your prophetic calendar in the abode of God, otherwise known as paradise. Look at the calendar. It's jam-packed. It's jam-packed. Boom, 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 boom. In a twinkling of an eye. We don't know. We don't know the timing of all that. But it's on your calendar is my point. God is the ultimate administrator. He, in his own election, has ordained these experiences. Separation of soul and spirit. Entrance into the abode of God, otherwise known as paradise. The supernatural conscious state of the intermediate state. The term limit begins on the arrival, post-death. When does it end? When the rapture comes. Asleep in Jesus until the resurrection of the righteous, part B, otherwise known as the rapture. Then what? The great judgment seat of Christ. What a calendar. What a calendar. I don't know about you, but that excites me that these things I didn't set out for my life. That we, all of us that are in Christ, are inheriting these guarantees from God. These great and precious promises that are yes and amen for the believing church. Yes and amen. Only those in Christ go to paradise. They enter Hades. For those that have put their faith and trust in Christ, have received forgiveness of their sins, adoption into the Holy Family, if they die in Christ, they go immediately, they experience a separation of soul and spirit. They enter into the abode of God, otherwise known as paradise, that launches the intermediate state until the event, the prophetic event of the rapture, otherwise known as the resurrection of the righteous. Now, as I read to you before in Luke 16:23, for those that have rejected Christ, those that are regarded before God as wicked, immediately upon the closing of their eye, they enter Hades. Until their intermediate state is in Hades. Until the great white throne judgment. Okay, with me so far? All right. I'm getting all kinds of peculiar looks out of y'all's face. It's like, who is this madman? What is he saying? I pray the Lord would give you revelation and turn it into joy. Amen? God bless you. Thanks for letting me share.